Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. The hustle and bustle of the season, the last-minute shopping, waiting in line for the next register, putting up the decorations, preparing the home for visitors, getting food on the table, opening gifts, reacting to gifts, returning gifts, shuttling people to and from the airport. It's over. All the trappings of a Merry Christmas gone for another year. Except in the church. The gloriously old-fashioned, out-of-step church. Here, the trees are still up, the Christ candle still glows, the readings and the hymns still Christmassy. What gives? Well, what if I told you that the good old-fashioned, out-of-step, behind-the-times church was sending a deliberate message by prolonging our Christmas celebration? It is a completely intentional choice, a countercultural decision to keep celebrating Christmas while the rest of the world moves on to other things. In this case, the action is the message. The world says, box it up. Christmas is over. God's people beg to differ. Now, I'm not suggesting that we leave the trees up in the chancel all year, but what I am suggesting is that the awe, the wonder, our marveling at the meekness and majesty of Jesus, the creative God of eternity, come down as a vulnerable baby. That's something worth hanging on to. That's something worth sustaining, prolonging, at least for a little while longer. Now, in today's Old Testament lesson, which presents us with words that we heard a couple weeks ago in worship, we hear of joy in the Lord. That's Christmassy for you. And in this case, that joy in the Lord is compared to the joy and the anticipation of a couple about to be married. Again, from Isaiah, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Now, there's a bit of a parallel here, don't you think, between Christmas and a wedding? Everyone who's involved can hardly wait for the day to arrive, and I'm not even going to get into all the preparations that need to happen before the day can arrive, but when the event has happened, and the show's over, so to speak, there's a letdown. The parents of the couple, all the guests, even the bride and groom themselves, all have to now adjust to life after the big day, as joyful as it was. And the difficulty of this adjustment is compounded by the fact that problems never take a holiday. Even the great days can tire you out. The bad days can knock the wind right out of you. The pain that we may have tried to paper over with the perfect gift, it's still there. Our hurts, our grudges, our challenges, they haven't changed that much since late November. Goodwill to all? Seems like that maybe got boxed up and put in the attic as well. On Christmas, we sang with gusto, joy to the world. But is the world joyful? Or has it all gone back to the way it was before? Are you starting to see why the church tries to extend the amount of time that we spend thinking about the baby in the manger who would be the Savior of the world? Not the external trappings of Christmas, but the child at the center of it all, the person who is God, Jesus, our Savior. It is so incredibly easy for us to let Him slip through our fingers or to put Him away like one more manger scene figure. I beg of you today to not do that. That's what this message is about today. Life with Christ is the celebration that we're looking for. Truly is. A celebration that does not depend on a day on a calendar, but on a deed that's been done, on an action that has been taken. And the results of that action still change people right to this present moment. Listen again to Isaiah. He says, I shall exult in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. This passage isn't simply saying Christmas is coming, get ready. What it's really saying is Christmas happened, and here's why you should care. Since Jesus was born in deep humility, died on the cross in perfect innocence, and was resurrected in death-defying power, God has done something to you. You have been clothed with garments of salvation. The robe of Jesus' righteousness covers you. And this clothing happened when the gift of faith became yours by means of word and spirit with the waters of baptism. And because you are clothed with all that is right about Jesus, you can know, first of all, that your sins will not destroy you. They've been paid for in full by Jesus. And you can know that you are fully loved. Fully loved. First, because God said so. When was that? Well, at Jesus' baptism, His Father declared, "This is My beloved Son. I am well pleased with Him." Which means all who are baptized into Jesus get to hear the very same thing said of them. Because it's true of Jesus, it's true of you. You are My beloved child, says God the Father. I am well pleased with you. Well pleased, perfectly loved. Right now, true of you in Christ, without you doing or not doing anything, you can know that you're fully loved because God said so. But that's not all. It's also because He proved that love with His actions. You heard it in Galatians 4 this morning. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His own Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. To redeem those under the law. That redemption came at the highest possible price for Jesus. Here's what I mean. He lived a perfect life under the law. Didn't miss a thing. But rather than get a trophy for that, rather than be rewarded for that, He was punished as if He had broken every last rule. and let his perfection pass to you and to me. Therefore, you can know that your sins are removed. You can know God loves you fully because when the time was absolutely right, Jesus let divine justice fall on him and not you. Instead of you, he took it. Now, God regards you as one who is wearing his son's perfection, and that's how God sees you when he looks at you. The celebration, the real celebration of our souls, could not really start until the fullness of time had come, but it has. It has come. And the result is your adoption. The result is belonging to God as a son or a daughter, thanks to Jesus. Life with him is the celebration that we're looking for. It is. Do you see why the church pushes out Christmas just a little bit farther? Dear old Simeon, who we meet in Luke 2, waited all his life for Christmas. And then today, in our gospel lesson, it is the fullness of time. Mary and Joseph bring little baby Jesus to the temple. Simeon's been anticipating this Christmas for years. And so he takes the Christ child in his arms and praises God, and there's no letdown in his praise. In fact, he says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, just as you promised. My eyes have seen the salvation that you've prepared. For where Jesus is, there is salvation. Where Jesus is, there is celebration. Don't put him away. Don't box him up. Take him with you into this new year. Let's pray. Lord, now you let your servants go in peace. Your word to us is fulfilled, for our eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. By faith, our eyes have beheld the child. We hold Jesus now by faith, just as we will receive Jesus at his table in a few short minutes. Let us leave that table today with joy, telling everyone who will listen of the hope that we have. For to us, a child is born who will save his people. His name is Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.